Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Joe Benigno and Evan Roberts on The Fan.
Joe and Evan. Evan and Joe. On WFAN Sports Radio. If you want to be in the New York, no. Gotta go to Joe and
All right, 10:04 on The Fan, and a very good Monday morning to you. The Midday Show, Joe Benigno, Evan Roberts. We're live, living color from the Mike Francesa Studios here high atop Hudson Street on the 10th floor in Lower Manhattan. 877-337-6666 is the phone number. We hit till 2 o'clock, and then the afternoon drive show will come your way. Bart Scott, Maggie Gray, and Chris Carlin. Dolph Kramer, Ernie Acosta on the other side of the glass. Bro, wild card weekend has come and gone. Pretty interesting weekend. I didn't think we had any. The Ram game, I guess, was the Ram Falcon game, was probably the least of the four games, I thought. I don't know what you thought. Your overall thoughts.
Overall, it was very entertaining. There was some awful coaching.
Awful.
There was some awful officiating.
Awful.
But to me, the biggest thing that comes out of this weekend, and I don't even think it's that close, it's not Jeff Triplett retiring. It's not the Falcons trying to get back to the Super Bowl. The biggest thing out of this weekend is the out-and-out choke job.
Oh,
that was performed
Chiefs?
By the Kansas City
yeah,
Chiefs.
Yeah, that's exactly what they did.
Because I watch these games like any sport, and I think about what it would feel like if I was a fan of that team, right? Mm. I think we always seem to do that. Like when the Texas Rangers were blowing the World Series against the Cardinals, I was like, oh, my God, I don't know what
right.
I'm doing with myself.
Right.
And I'm watching this game. It's 21-3 when the Chiefs score that touchdown at the end of the first half. Is there anybody in their right mind against the Titans are not any good.
No, of course.
It's not like they were up 21-3 on the Patriots.
Right.
They were up 21-3 on a Titan team that was outscored this year. And I didn't think it at the time, but looking back on it, when Marcus Mariota ran for the first down on third and long on their first drive of the second half, that turned out to like end up becoming one of
huge.
The catalyst plays of this game.
Yep.
And it seemed like Marcus Mariota was a different guy in the second half. It seemed like the Tennessee Titans were a more confident team for some reason. And the Kansas City Chiefs, like dogs, they went into a shell. And I think it starts. Where does it start? With the head coach.
Hey, I agree with you. You say a shell. To me, they didn't go into enough of a shell because they didn't run the ball enough. I mean, Andy Reid doesn't want to run the football. He's got the leading rusher in the league in Akeem Hunt. Give the kid the ball. Give him the ball. I mean, to me, they got away from that totally in the second half. I thought the play calling was horrible in the second half.
I think more so what I meant is the conservative nature defensively.
Oh,
because
okay. All right.
They're holding on to this big lead thinking there's no way they can blow it.
Well,
and you mentioned the Kareem Hunt thing. Kareem Hunt had 11 carries in this game.
It's unbelievable. What are
11.
You doing? And I know Andy Reid, and one of the big knocks on Andy Reid over the years is that he doesn't want to run the football. And that's one of the big knocks there is.
And we mentioned this before the weekend that when Kareem Hunt goes for 100 yards on the ground, the Kansas City Chiefs don't lose.
Right.
So you have to make it a priority, especially when Travis Kelce goes out with an injury. When Tyreek Hill, I know his numbers are okay.
Travis
How many
Kelce,
drops did he have
Travis,
in this game?
The Travis Kelce injury was huge, but that's still not an excuse.
No.
You're up 14-0 when he's at it. It goes out of the game.
And Tyreek Hill had drops in this game. How many did he have?
Like three.
A couple of them
early. Yep.
There was also a brutal drop by the backup, Orson Charles, at tight end on what would have been a first down. And it's not like the Tennessee Titans were playing like world beaters. You give them credit for being able to pull off this comeback.
Right.
But the Kansas City Chiefs, I mean, they blew it in a major way.
Horrible.
It's an all-time collapse.
Terrible.
It's not the Super Bowl like Atlanta, but considering this franchise's tortured history, this goes right up there.
Yeah, this is as bad as it gets. Maybe the worst they've done, to be honest with you, because I don't remember them blowing an 18-point lead before against a team they're clearly better than. And look, Mariota was very good, no doubt. Derrick Henry, I thought, had a terrific game in his game, no doubt about it. And to play with Mariota, how about Darrell? The only time, and they didn't even try to throw the ball at Darrell Revis. They were throwing the ball at Marcus Peters. I didn't get that. But the one time Revis gets his hands on the ball, he knocks the ball right to Mariota for the touchdown and really turn the game around.
That was.
I mean, unbelievable.
And so here's when we saw Darrell. We saw Darrell bat a pass to Mariota and Darrell run away from a tackle. That was
pretty
the
much.
Things we saw from Darrell
Revis. Because they never even tried to throw at him.
Yeah.
What do you think? Is this Darrell Revis from 10 years ago? I mean, what was that?
And how about the fact, and this goes towards how Kansas City managed to blow this game, how they could not get off the field on third down.
No, no.
In the second half of this game, I think Tennessee pitched a perfect game.
Yeah.
I think they were like 7-for-7 on third downs in the
Mariota
second half of this game.
Mariota had a bunch of them on his own. I mean, how many did he run for?
Oh, a lot of them, yeah.
Yeah.
It was really, it was epic. It was epic how bad it was. And, you know, how about when Adoree Jackson muffs a punt.
Oh, my God.
The Chiefs get this huge
How big
break.
Was that play?
It was huge. They set up.
They went nowhere. They lost 2 yards, I think, and they missed the field goal.
They missed the field goal.
No doubt.
I mean, that
huge.
Play
huge.
Right after the Mariota
huge.
Touchdown catch from
right.
himself.
Right, right, right.
That would have been the backbreaker.
That
right?
would have been it.
And also at least to use some clock, too. I mean, so not only do you have a chance to put points on the board.
They went 3-and-out.
They went 3-and-out. They went backwards, like you said. And then Harrison Butker,
whatever his name
misses
is.
A 48-yard
yep.
field goal.
Yep.
And at that point, I still didn't think the Chiefs would lose this game. But you're thinking, oh, my
He's starting to get a little nervous.
Oh, my God.
And I know the Chief fans were. You could feel it just watching the game. And the Chief fans were starting to get nervous at that point in the game, and rightfully so.
Oh.
And you don't see a game too often where the other team gets 2 turnovers, one team gets none, and they still win the game. How often did you see that happen?
It was that kind of game.
It really was.
And it was that kind of choke, like on every level.
It was a horrible choke.
And
I agree.
You know, it's funny. I had a caller on Saturday saying, hey, what's the difference between the Chiefs and the Jets? And I gave the answer he was looking for, which is the Chiefs Super Bowl drought is 1 year less than the Jets Super
That's
Bowl
correct.
Drought.
That's correct.
But when you compare these franchises, there aren't a lot of differences since they each won their Super Bowl title in 3 and 4 respectively. And I was going through it. They've all had brutal losses. Neither team has gotten back to a Super Bowl.
Nope.
The Jets have been to 4 title games. The Chiefs have only been the one. The other difference is that makes the Chiefs kind of worse than the Jets is that the Kansas City Chiefs have had all these brutal home playoff losses.
Oh, my God.
The Jets don't have
they
home
never
playoff
play at
games.
Home. No.
Right.
No, they've had a ton of brutal home playoff losses to the Colts, to the Broncos, this one here now. Yeah, I guess you're right. That's the last championship game in the room was Joe Montana against Buffalo,
that
right?
Was
1993.
In the merger era where it's not the AFL anymore.
Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah.
their only one.
That's amazing.
The Jets have been to 4.
Right.
The Kansas City Chief playoff record since the merger. You ready for this?
Is
4-15.
Wow.
The Jet playoff record is 10-12.
Yeah, it's better. Yeah, definitely better.
Now, the one edge Kansas City has, and it means nothing based on the numbers I just gave, is that they've won 8 divisional titles,
Jets
and the
have
Jets have
two.
Only won 2.
Right, since the merger.
But when you compare these two former AFL franchises, they had the 2 most important Super Bowl victories. Would you agree with that?
I completely agree.
3-4?
Forced the merger.
They forced the merger. They legitimized the AFL.
Yep.
So these franchises forever belong in history. But these two franchises are tortured.
Tortured.
And in ways, the Chiefs are worse.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think you're wrong. And the Chiefs actually think they have a head coach with Andy Reid. And, I mean, Andy Reid could not have coached, in my mind, a worse game than he did Saturday.
He blew it.
That was unbelievable. Horrible. It was horrible.
And you look at them and you look at their future, and you can't just simply say, all right, well, Patrick Mahomes is going to be the quarterback next year. We're good. Alex Smith isn't the reason they lost this game.
No, he played a good game. Alex Smith was good.
Alex Smith wasn't the problem. And I think what makes this worse, and it wouldn't have mattered if you blow a game like this to any team, but do you walk away, like, really enamored with the Tennessee Titans?
No.
You know what I walk away saying?
No.
The Patriots have a bye.
I agree.
That's what I walk
pretty
away
much,
thinking.
Pretty much.
And this is the second straight
year
that they
have
this.
No way do I see Tennessee beating the Patriots. It might be a game for a while. What is it, 13.5 is the number?
It's 13.5.
Yeah, I don't see it. I don't see it.
And believe it or not, 13.5, and I think the quarterback's the reason, this number is actually less than the number last year at this time. When they played the Houston Texans.
Who played them pretty tough last year, actually, defensively.
But the Pats still covered.
Right.
And the number was 16 in that game.
Right, right.
So if you think this is a bye week like I do for the Patriots, think about last year. And you're right, the score was not indicative of that
no.
game.
No, they gave him a tough time defensively in that game. No doubt about it. But they couldn't win with the quarterback. There was no shot.
And I think that's the difference. Tennessee has a quarterback that at least in the second half. And I thought once they went
I thought he played real well, Mariota. I did. And now they ran the ball well, too, with Henry. Henry had a big game.
Absolutely, yeah.
No, he had a big game.
And it looks like DeMarco Murray may be back for this next game, at least in some kind of role. But they were able to run the football effectively. They have a quarterback that, at least in the second half of this game, when he was allowed to, like, use more of an up-tempo offense and he was able to make plays with his legs, the guy made plays.
He did.
Like, he
just clearly did.
Just a different quarterback. But it's not like the Tennessee Titans went in there and played, like, this really flawless game to pull off the upset. Like, they played a messy game.
Yep.
They turned the ball over, like you said.
Twice, yep.
And they were able to overcome it because the Kansas City Chiefs choked.
They did. That was as big a choke job as we've seen. You know, we saw Atlanta choke to New England in the Super Bowl, like you said. But, boy, the Chiefs, man. At home, you got to win that game.
I think what makes this, like, so epic, even though it's not the Super Bowl, is that when the Atlanta Falcons choked in the Super Bowl, they choked it to Tom Brady.
Right. Yeah. They choked to arguably the greatest dynasty of all time.
Yeah. Like, this team choked to the Tennessee Titans. And I think what this game proved is that it's something you've said all football season, and you're so right. We all know nothing.
Nothing.
We don't know anything.
Bro, amen.
Because
amen.
We sat here, and I don't think we were wrong for saying it, that the biggest upset by far this weekend would be the Tennessee Titans beating the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, I know that's the way I felt, that's for sure.
I felt it too.
God, was I wrong.
And they were wrong. And then, of course, you had the bad officiating.
Yep.
And yes, I mean, to call forward progress, I thought was a mistake.
On the Mariota sack, sack, that should have been a fumble recovery for a touchdown?
I mean, I think it should have been.
No, I'm with you.
And I think it was a mistake. And I think we see sometimes way too many mistakes in these kinds of games.
And Triplett retired after that, too.
Yeah, apparently he was going to retire anyway.
Probably.
But why, for all of these postseason games, do we get quote-unquote all-star crews? Like, you're putting guys with people they don't work with.
Yeah,
why
makes
not
no
just
sense.
Pick a crew that's makes competent? No, and it wouldn't be Jeff Triplett's crew, obviously. We all know that. But pick a crew that's competent and give them playoff games instead of, like, taking, okay, somebody from here. That doesn't seem like the greatest idea in the world.
No,
that's
I'm
just
with
me,
you.
Though.
No, I agree. It doesn't make sense at all. You're right. Makes no sense.
No, a lot of things
just
about
the league. Just keep the crews the way they are. Why would you change it?
Yeah, when you take a piece here, a piece there, a piece there, how do you think that's a great idea?
Yeah, it isn't.
The other thing was this Buffalo game. And I'll tell you, give McDermott credit because they made the playoffs, even though he made that horrific Nathan Peterman decision earlier this year.
Yep.
I thought he was brutal.
I thought he was brutal. Bro, first and goal from the one. First of all, that whole crazy sequence in the Buffalo game. And let me, before I even go there.
Yeah.
The two games yesterday, the contrast in quarterback play.
Oh, yeah.
Was unbelievable.
Slightly.
I mean, these two guys that were terrible in the first game. And then probably, you know, obviously Breeze is a Hall of Famer. Cam will probably be there, too, when all is said and done. You know, what a difference in the quarterback play. But to me, you get that crazy play where Buffalo tries to draw, before they kick the field goal, they try to draw the Jaguars offside. They don't do it. And then the Jaguars jump offside on the field goal try.
Yes, the neutral zone.
Right. My God.
Right.
And now you got first and goal on the one. And to me, this was the story of the game right here. First and goal on the one. You got Tyrod Taylor and LeSean McCoy. These are your two main weapons that you have. And you throw a pass on first down? Pass interference against Kelvin Benjamin? And that changed, to me, that changed the whole game. Whole game.
Yeah, I think that the play calling there was number one god-awful.
Unbelievable.
You've got, and I know Jacksonville.
Unbelievable.
Has a bit, and they're crowding the box, and they're expecting
you to run.
Okay,
sure.
But the worst thing that can happen, besides a turnover, was the offensive pass interference penalty on Benjamin.
Unbelievable.
And that sets you back. Now, you kick the field goal anyway, right? So you go back to the whole neutral zone infraction.
Right.
You get the 3 points. But here's where I thought it continued. How about, and I thought this was really, really bad, the clock management at the end of the first half.
Oh,
in
terrible.
Which the Buffalo Bills.
Oh, my God.
Basically give the Jaguars the football back
at
midfield.
With like a minute something.
Yeah, with too much time left.
That was unbelievable.
And it allows them to kick the field goal and tie the game.
Well, Bortles had a couple big runs there, which
is all he did
yesterday.
You know, yes it is.
I mean, give him credit for that. He had a lot of big runs for first downs. I give him credit. You know, they don't win the game without that. But boy, oh boy, watching that game between him and Tyrod Taylor yesterday, I thought I was watching Bryce Petty play for both teams.
Yeah, I think Bortles in ways was more awful because he looked afraid. It looked like he had the yips.
No.
I don't want to hear about the wind, okay?
Stop.
It wasn't like 90
miles an hour. He was missing these
winds.
Little passes out into the flat where if he would have hit the guy, they would have still been running, a lot of these guys.
Hey, you know, though, with that said, the touchdown to Brad Koyak, that was a big play.
That was
play.
A nice throw. Yeah.
And that was surprising because it was fourth and goal from the 1 yard line.
Yep, absolutely.
And he made a play.
Yeah, yep.
And you're right. But look, he made plays with his legs too, like you said.
All day.
And they were huge. So even though the numbers are pathetic and it's very tough to have confidence in him, you know, going into Pittsburgh, they won the football game.
They did.
And here was the key. He didn't make the brutal mistake.
He almost threw a couple picks, but he didn't pick. That's right. He didn't turn the ball over. And even that play with that, which really was a fumble, and fortunate for the Jaguars, Fournette jumped on the ball.
Yeah.
Because to me, that was I know Tony Romo said it was a pass. I thought that was a fumble. Well, they called it a fumble.
They called it a sack.
Right. Right.
It was odd because it looked like, we're talking about the backwards pass, right? And then he jumps on it.
Yeah,
okay.
Fournette jumped on it.
So he does the backwards pass, and you're right, and give Fournette credit. He says, hey, this could be a backwards pass. Let me jump on the football. And I thought it was a backwards pass, too. Then you think, okay, they ruled incompletion, and then they called it a sack. It was bizarre. But the Buffalo Bills missed out on a golden opportunity. I forget the guy's name. I think Anderson dropped a potential Bortles interception early in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
And I think that was where Blake could have made
the
big mistake.
Right. But and that pass was nowhere near the receiver. The receiver was still running this way, and the ball was underthrown.
Outside of maybe the touchdown pass.
That was the best pass he threw all day.
What pass was near his receiver?
No, he was horrible. And Taylor was missing guys, too. Taylor was overthrowing guys. I think it was O'Leary in the end zone. He had him 5 yards ahead of the defensive back, and he missed him by 10 yards.
Oh, yeah.
And there was another one down the sideline, too. We had a guy open late in the game, and he missed him. Taylor had a bad game,
when
too.
Tyrod Taylor gets knocked out, and you felt bad for him, and he gets knocked out of this game.
Like in the closing seconds.
Well, it sets up fourth and three, and they go to Nathan Peterman, which is this. Yeah, it's kind of what happened with Derek Anderson, except a different part of the game where Anderson had to come in for Cam
Newton.
Only
one play, but yeah.
Well, in this case, it could have been more, though. Because
could've
been. And it should have been more if the NFL really has concussion rules.
Yes.
Okay? Because the Panthers, I don't want to say lie, that's a strong word. Let me frame it this way. They put out a dubious story. Is that nice?
I would say so.
Okay. They put out a dubious story that he got poked in the eye.
Yeah, well, you saw that when they showed a replay, like one of the guy's feet kind of got to kick them in the face
right.
a little bit.
So when he falls down walking off the field, that's not a concussion, folks.
Right.
That's because his eye hurts.
Right.
Come on.
Right.
But with Tyrod Taylor, he was clearly out of that game and not coming in.
No doubt.
When Peterman runs for the first down on fourth and three, are you thinking to yourself, oh, my God, this is going to be an epic story.
This guy's going to pull the game out or at least tie the game up.
Right.
Right.
He's going to become the new Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Peterman's going to come in. The Bills are going to win. And they're going to have a dynasty for the next 10 years behind Nathan Peterman.
Yeah. Just
I was kind of envisioning
that. Just what our division needs, that.
By the way, that did not happen.
No.
He did convert on the fourth and three.
He did get that, but then he threw the pick. And to me, it was a pick, I got to say.
Come on. How is it not a pick?
No, of course it was. But there was some, you know, I mean, Romo and Nance are basically saying that it hit the ground. They did say that.
I heard a caller this morning.
And you never know with this river on.
You're right. I heard a caller this morning who made a very interesting point about Tony Romo. He said, and he's so true, because I didn't think about it at the time. I didn't look at it this way. So I want to give this caller credit. Calls up Boomer and Gio and says, you know, I got to take issue with Tony Romo. They're like, well, why? He's like, so Tyrod Taylor gets knocked out. I mean, he looks like he's in major trouble.
Yeah.
Guys are praying on the field. Guys are on their knees.
Yes.
And all Tony Romo could talk about is the 10-second runoff. He was obsessed with
he showed
no compassion towards Tyrod Taylor. And thinking back on it, that caller's 100% right.
Yeah.
Tony Romo was heartless.
Yeah.
He really was.
Yeah.
Tyrod Taylor's on the ground.
He was on the ground.
And all Tony could think about is this 10-second runoff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like it's going to make a difference. Yeah. Like the Bills are going to win this game
anyway.
And then
he said they didn't do the runoff. Remember he was saying as the play went, and when the play resumed, that the runoff never happened. And remember what else he said, too, when he said, this is another mistake he made. He talked about, they had no timeouts left. And he said, well, because of the injury, they give you a freebie. There's no freebie.
No, there's no freebie.
What is he? Remember he said that?
Yeah.
There's no freebie.
I think
freebie?
I think they ended up giving the 10-second runoff.
They did.
Yeah.
No, they did.
They stopped the game.
Right.
because New York City realized that the officials screwed up.
Right, that's right.
Hello, what else is new?
Right.
And I think it was John Hussey's
crew. John Hussey, that's who it was.
So they fixed it. And that's one of the that's a good thing.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Because that's not even like an interpretation that's wrong. That's, flat out, there needs to be a 10-second runoff, not a freebie.
Right.
But Tony showed he's a little heartless. I mean, poor Tyrod Taylor's writhing in pain, and Romo's too concerned about...
I wasn't even thinking about that, but you're right. You make a good point there.
No, it's not my point. It was that caller, because I didn't think of it either. Right. I just kept thinking like what Romo was thinking, like, wow, I guess there's a 10-second runoff. Yeah. But when that caller paints it that way, the way he did, I think Romo's really heartless.
Yeah, okay.
So he should clean that up. But it was very entertaining this weekend.
No, it was
very
good.
Very entertaining.
It was good. I thought the Ram game was the worst game. I got the feeling the Rams were just not ready for the playoffs.
They didn't
No. That's the feeling. They went up against a seasoned team, you know, a team that was in the Super Bowl last year. They've been there before, and you could see the difference.
Well, I don't know if it's going to work out the same, but here's what the Atlanta Falcons now remind me after one game and the way we're talking about them and the way they played in this game against the Rams. They kind of remind me of the Green Bay Packers from 2010. The Green Bay Packers in 2010 won, what, 9 or 10 games?
Yeah, 10.
They were the sixth seed.
I think they were 10-6.
I think they were 10-6. Right, you're right. They finished strong. Yep. They were the bottom seed. And as soon as the playoffs began, they just looked like a machine. And they weren't favored in the 6-versus-1 matchup the way Atlanta is. But I looked back to see what the number was. Against Atlanta, the Atlanta Falcons at the time, Mike Smith coach team, they were only 1-point underdogs. So think about it. Kind of similar. Here's this sixth seed. Only a 1-point underdog in Atlanta. They beat the Falcons.
And they played the Bears in Chicago.
And they were favored in that game.
Right. Yeah.
And it was almost like you forget how good this team really is. And I think with Atlanta, especially defensively, ever since last year, dating back towards their playoff run, because during the regular season, their defense wasn't great. They've got a legitimately good defensive team.
Yeah, and they got Trufant back now. He wasn't there last year. He was hurt in the secondary. Big plays in this game, though, too. That Cooper, the return man, killed him.
Killed him.
I mean, he gave him 10 points. I mean, really. I mean, that one muff punt, that crazy play with the muff punt, and then he fumbled the kickoff. He basically gave 10 points to Atlanta.
Yeah, and the Atlanta Falcons also said, Jared Goff has to beat us and go ahead and we dare you.
Yeah.
And he wasn't able to do it.
Nope.
But you're right. I mean, turnovers on special teams, Farrell Cooper struggling the way he did, was a huge, huge hindrance. And look, the Rams fought back a little bit because I think when they pulled this thing to 13-10,
you thought they had a shot.
You thought they had a shot.
Right.
But really what killed them is when Atlanta got the football to start the second half, they had that slow, methodical march down the field drive. Matt Bryant was awesome in this game.
Oh, my God.
He's your star of the game, if you will.
He was great.
And it felt like that long drive to start the second half. And then when they got the ball back right after that, it just kind of took the life out of the Rams. They were done.
Yeah.
And they controlled the clock so much. And by that point, they were too big of a hole. And, Jared Goff couldn't beat him because I think that was the Falcons' strategy. Yeah. We're not going to let Todd Gurley kill us.
And they didn't. And Gurley actually put up I think he actually rushed for 100 yards, didn't he?
He did. He had a couple of big runs.
He did. But, I mean, there's a situation where the stats don't reflect it. You know, he really wasn't a factor in the game.
Well,
he really wasn't.
There was a drive when the Rams kicked the field goal to make it 19-13 where Todd Gurley, on that drive alone, rushed for over 50 yards.
Yeah, okay.
So do the math, right?
Yeah, right.
He got fit on one drive that didn't even result in a touchdown.
Right.
It resulted in a field goal. So sometimes numbers can be a little deceiving, but I think Atlanta just reminded us that they're a factor.
Absolutely.
And I have major regrets about them because on Saturday.
the numbers have changed appreciably, that's for sure.
On Saturday, I did a short segment about the odds going into the postseason because Joe and I famously, if you will, I don't know how famous, put a couple of shekels down on the Ravens.
Well, I had a good year in the over-unders.
That's right.
So I'm just basking in the glow.
As you deserve to. You deserve to bask. So we looked for value with the Ravens a few years ago, and they paid off. They won the Super Bowl that year.
Right.
So on the air, I was going through all the odds. And as I was going through it, I was like, my God, this Carolina thing is very appealing.
Yeah. What were the numbers on Carolina yesterday?
It was like 14-1 to just win the NFC.
That's not bad.
Not the Super Bowl.
No, that's not bad.
And Atlanta was the other one. I think they were about 10-1.
Yeah, not anymore.
Not anymore.
They're actually favored against the Eagles. What are they, 2.5-point favorite in that game?
Yeah, yeah. So at the time, I was like, I should put some shekels down on Carolina. Maybe I should do Carolina and Atlanta because, you got this feeling the NFC's topsy-turvy.
Right.
I just did Carolina, so yesterday kind of stunk.
Yeah.
Because it ends right out of the gate. Yeah. There isn't even like the tease.
Well, what hurt Carolina yesterday was they couldn't put the ball in the end zone. And I thought early in the game, that sequence where I forget who it was, dropped the touchdown pass. It was no score.
Yep.
Third down play, drops that pass to the corner of the end zone, Clay. And then, you know, then who's their kicker? I can't remember.
Graham Gano.
Oh, Gano, that's right. Pushes that 25-yarder right, and they missed that field goal. And that was a huge sequence early in the game.
Yeah, that killed them. The fact that they just couldn't stop the New Orleans Saints passing attack.
Oh, Breeze
passing
was great.
Attack.
Breeze was great yesterday.
They kind of finally started to look better defensively in the second half. They forced a couple of punts. They had the interception on fourth and two, though. It shouldn't have been an interception. They should have dropped the football. I thought that was a very, very gutsy play by Sean Payton. I didn't love it. I understand you're playing to win the game, and his thought
going for it at the end of the game?
Yeah, because...
Well, he tried to draw him off first, and then I was stunned when they came back out to go for it.
Yeah, I get it. Like, he's saying...
And Adams should have not intercepted the
pass. That's 18 yards.
Right.
It's a huge difference.
Right.
But I get having confidence in Drew Brees. Drew Brees is an all-time great.
Sure.
Totally get that.
He was having a great game.
But you got to look at the odds here. Sure, you convert a first down, games over, everybody's happy. But if you pin them back, and you should be able to pin them back, and now you're forcing the Carolina Panthers with a minute and change to go 90 yards, I feel pretty good about my chances.
Yeah, yeah.
So I admire coaches when they show guts, but I didn't love it. And I think he overcame it because I think if Carolina was able to seal the deal, and really the intentional grounding penalty was the killer.
The killer.
But if Carolina was able, because they got it to the 20-yard line.
They did.
They had a shot here.
Hey, he made some nice throws. Let me tell you, Newton, I thought, played a terrific game, too.
He
didn't really run the ball too much, but he was throwing the ball. I mean, Greg Olsen, outside of Greg Olsen and McCaffrey, what do they have there?
No, they don't have a lot.
They
especially
don't.
When you look at the other side and you see what New Orleans has.
Right.
But the intentional grounding was a killer.
Yep.
But if you punt, and if Carolina wins this game, I think Sean Payton is the top story today. I think everybody's ripping Sean Payton.
Yeah,
but I think
agree.
When you win sometimes, you could survive it. You get to move on.
You got away with it this time.
Yeah.
You got away with it.
The Carolina Panthers, come on now. When Cam Newton gets just knocked out.
Yep.
I mean, just destroyed.
And even when he was walking off the field and even went back down to a knee.
Yeah.
On the field.
Because he got poked in the eye.
Yeah.
And I get why Cam Newton at that point
slammed.
In the game. He got crushed.
He got slammed. He didn't see that hit coming. He tried. I guess he was actually down. His knee was down.
Right.
Then he gets up like his knee wasn't down, and the guy just annihilated him.
And for the sake of all of us as fans, sure, we're happy Cam Newton came back in the game because at 31-19 with 5 minutes to go, Derek Anderson ain't doing anything.
No.
Forget the 3rd and 17. Forget that play.
No, he had no chance. He almost threw a pick six.
I know.
Oh, my
Cam
God.
Cam Jordan batted
it. What was that play call? Oh, my God.
I thought they were better off just running the football and saying, you know what?
Yep.
It's 3rd and 17.
Yep.
We're not getting anything out of this.
Right.
Let's
go. Right.
So I'm glad Cam Newton came back from a selfish perspective because it made the game more interesting. But if the NFL really has rules where you got to go into the protocol and they really want to be careful, the Carolina Panthers were not careful.
Right. We even saw Matt Ryan go in the tent. He went, too.
Yeah, no, he did, too. But the Newton thing looks bad. The guy fell down.
Yeah, no, he definitely. Definitely.
But I get why people don't like him. I understand.
Yeah, well,
he's got some confidence, some arrogance. The comments he made, sexist comments.
Yeah.
I want to tell you why I love watching this guy play football. Because he is so calm. Like, there's an aura about him where he is Robinson Cano playing football. And I know that rubbed people the wrong way because they think Cano isn't trying. No, Cano's trying. He's just so freaking smooth. He makes it look easy. And Cam Newton, it starts right from the beginning when he's on his knee in the huddle.
That's
everybody
he always
gets
is
up,
like that. And he's the last guy up. He's still on his knee while they're going to the line.
I love that.
Yeah, he's a tremendous.
He's thinking upstairs.
Bro.
He stands up.
I will
calm.
Cam Newton, I will take him tomorrow. I would take him as my quarterback in a nanosecond.
Oh, I mean, I think most people would.
You're a fan of the Patriots or Packers.
Well,
whatever. But I mean, the guy's a tremendous quarterback.
And I
thought yesterday he threw the ball as just about as well as Brees.
He absolutely did. He was great
right there.
I just love watching that dude play football. Like I just
he's
love
a great
it.
Player. Cam Newton's a great player, no question.
And now he's got a long offseason to recover from his concussion that he probably has that never really occurred.
Yes.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.